Beam me up. What's going on, my brother from another mother? Beam me up.
You guys are the best.
You guys make it.
Permission to board that
plane.
Order ship has connected.
And you the man, PDA.
North America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour black hole block party. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Green Bay to Greensboro, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you being with us, and you have made the journey alongside us. 1 year ago, we wrapped up Bob's 2, which would be the second annual Bob's Bar Show, wondering, was this so chaotic and so bizarre that maybe we won't make it to year 3, or maybe year 3 won't ever happen? We have made it to the finish line. Tomorrow morning is Bob's 3, the third annual Bob's Bar Show, and so today is like Christmas Eve. Who's that overweight guy sliding down the chimney? It ain't Santa Claus. Coming up this morning here on the show, we'll talk about the Buffalo Bills drama with Tyler Dunn of Go Long. GoLongTD.com, a football vertical website, which we enjoy very much around here. He covered the Bills for the Buffalo News for a number of years. He's based in Western New York, so he's always a good resource on Bills, everything. Ty's going to join us coming up here a little over an hour from now. In 20-minute soundcheck, in 40 minutes, just how many eggs have we procured for tomorrow's festivities? And over the course of this morning, we will give you some of the details that we can offer going into tomorrow morning's event. If you are getting ready to make the trip Friday morning, getting ready to make the trip Thursday night, tonight, and you need intel, you need information, reach out to us on social media ASAP. That way we can get you pointed in the right direction to the right people. We've got a pretty deep department around here. We've got me on Twitter, Bogues on Twitter, Bilotti on Twitter, Cap on Twitter, and we need to just send you to Mraz's email. That's basically the department these days, but Pat Boyle is in today. Of course, we'll do some oiling of boiling coming up tomorrow morning on the show. We'll get Pat's take on this, and we have a travel guide one sheet. If you need to know any of the details, timing, parking, travel schedule for the Long Island Railroad, stuff like that, hotel information, which I hope you already have one right now, campground situation, we will not be having hookups of water and electric in Mraz's backyard. Please, I direct you to my personal website, DamonAmendolara.com. Click on the blog tab. I've tweeted this out a number of times, but if you need this, this is a good one sheet for you. Don't wait till the last second, because right now is basically the last second. Well, now that we've got that out of the way, let's have ourselves a show. And we begin as we did yesterday. We told you about the story in Buffalo, and here was naive DA buried in the AJ baby bunker for more than 3 weeks, looking at Stephon Diggs not reporting to OTAs and saying, it's always a wide receiver. What's up with him? It's always a wide receiver. What's going on? And why can't anybody report what's going on? Blah, 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 as DA went. And then Mraz said, excuse me, sir, pardon me, sir. Maybe you were unaware, but somebody slept with somebody else and nobody could report it because it's like TMZ, and Stephon Diggs kind of has a a reason to be really PO'd. Oh.
Is that how I sound?
Oh, I didn't pick up on that. I didn't know there was a Days of Our Lives Grey's Anatomy thing going on in Buffalo between Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, other people, bartenders, who knows. So I need to rewind and maybe perhaps reformulate my take. But either way, yesterday the Bills came out and said, you know what, we're good. We're good. There is no problems. This is fully resolved. We've got shiny, happy people. Oh, okay. Oh, and OTAs are cut short. Sorry, we're out of here. Wait, what? The Bills are good now? It is where we begin. You're cold open.
There's a lot of things out there that aren't accurate. Let me be clear. Steph did everything that he was asked to do. He was here Monday and reported for meetings, at which time we had a good conversation, great communication, and we got to a point yesterday where we just felt like we all needed a break and some space. And so I gave Steph permission to get some space and head out and then picked up those conversations after practice. Those conversations got us to what I think and believe is a great spot. I appreciate Steph being willing to communicate. I thought he did a great job. Steph's a valuable member of this football team. He works extremely, extremely hard as any player I've been around, to be elite in this league, and that's what he is. And I love him.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
So some of this tracks. It was Stephon Diggs who was unhappy. It was Josh Allen who admitted he could do some things better. Everybody admitted it was not a football-related thing. It was something non-football-related. And it is possible, it is plausible that Sean McDermott did have a meeting with Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen, maybe both at the same time yesterday after practice, got it all squared away, and then said, you know what, I think we're good here. Diggs did nothing wrong. It was an excused absence, the way that he tells it, and we're good here. Let's just go to our separate camps and let's take a breather. That's all possible that there's a shred of truth there, but gosh, does this feel like McDermott blew the messaging? Because one day we have McDermott saying he's, quote, very concerned about Stephon Diggs not being there. And then the next day, he's like, you know what? It was excused. We're all good here. And then that same day, after McDermott said, look, if you're not here for any practice, I'm going to be upset, whether it's injury or otherwise. We need all the practice time we could get. He goes, and you know what? No more practice. We're done. OTAs were supposed to go a third day. We're not doing it. 2 days is good. You good? I'm good? Yeah, we're good. So something is up here where McDermott should have, and he's usually built from the don't show any cards type of mold, showed too many cards yesterday, made it seem like it was a big deal. It got blown up into a big deal. What's going on? What's going on? And then the next day goes back to say, no, it wasn't actually a big deal. Well, which one was it? And how can you say it's not that big a deal, Steph did everything right, but then cut an entire day of OTA short? By my math, they sliced down 33% of their entire OTA session. And it was because they needed a breather from one another. So, look, I can't say that I know the full details. And if Mraz's reports and rumor mongering are true, it sounds like it is kind of ugly behind the scenes between mamas and baby mamas and mothers and baby mothers and who knows what. People dating this, people dating, who knows? Who knows what's true, what's not? But the Bills themselves have a head coach that I constantly scratch my head if he's up to the task of leading a Super Bowl team. And the last 48 hours suggests you got to get your ducks in a row before you say anything. If this is what it looks like as you, like, deal with the issue head on. We'll see. It's always something, huh? It's always something with the Bills. 855-212-4CBS. or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Do I think the Bills are all good now? No. I don't think you go from something that volatile to now today everything is good. I don't. Hopefully for them, it is just time away from one another. Cooler heads will prevail, and there's some type of understanding. But, Mraz, Sean McDermott works so hard on messaging all of the time. I mean, he's cut from the old-school football cloth of, we do things this way, this is who we are, one foot in front of the other, cliche, cliche, cliche. And then he says, I'm very concerned about a guy not being here. The next day says, oh, it was an excused absence. Well, which one was it, Shawnee Mac?
Yeah, there was another quote, D.A., when he talked about being very concerned and how he's always concerned if anybody's missing. Like, he really tried to cover his tracks. But I think regardless of whatever is true and what's not true here, I agree with you. Everything's not all right. And as it stands right now, I know it's only June. I don't know how anybody can comfortably say this is the year the Bills break through and finally get to a Super Bowl, because it feels more like this is a locker room ready to burst at the seams more than one that's going to rally and come together.
Is it possible that the last couple of years have been too kumbaya and they need a little bit of weirdness, a little bit of this type of stuff to rally together?
I don't know about that, because, I mean, have all of these past recent champions have had, like, these moments where you're actively ending camps early to make sure the team can't be with each other?
Nope.
Seems like we're grasping there, and I think the two happiest organizations in the world right now are the Jets and the Dolphins, that this is unfolding.
And the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Bills could literally have a 53-man fist fight with each other in the locker room and probably still have a better record than the Patriots this year, in my opinion.
But in that division that has been the kingdom of the Bills the last couple of years, you're right. If they have a weakened Bills team because of internal dysfunction, one that involves the franchise QB and the franchise wide receiver, it's not like you have an offensive lineman that hates a cornerback. You've got the two most important pieces to the Bills that need to be able to work together that are at each other's throats apparently right now, or at least some resentment from one side. Yeah, that's not a good equation going into the regular season, but maybe it's better that it happens in June and not October?
I guess if you're going to circle a positive, but again, if it's this volatile, I don't know how anything heals by October either.
Maybe just when football's being played, that's when you have to put it aside. If Diggs really wants to be a winner and he really wants to win a championship, if this is the problem, that Diggs can't stand Allen for whatever reason, then maybe once you actually start playing games, you're like, okay, we're full steam ahead. Business, we got to go into business mode right now. Maybe. Right now it's personal. Then it'll be business during the season.
And you're going to find out about Sean McDermott, the head coach, too, because it's way more about X's and O's. He's got to keep a locker room together and be able to manage egos. That is a big part of being a head coach in professional sports, and you have to wonder if he's able to do that.
Well, as the old saying goes that we like to say around here, it's oftentimes not about the X's and O's, but the Jimmys and the Joes. Or the Joshies and the Stephs.
Yes, that's exactly what we say around here.
24 hours, now 23 hours and 45 minutes from Bob's Bar gates opening up. Where are you at emotionally?
Well, I learned something yesterday, which I'm very curious about. I told my mom to wake up early and check. You know that construction we were worried about, DA?
Yeah.
So because they're not shifting it in the neighborhood right now, they have decided to rip up the entire main road that leads into the neighborhood, like the one road in, as if it was Gillette here. And as a result, the belief is it is overnight construction that wraps at 6 a.m. So I am a little worried about the route for everybody's ride shares. Now, you're still going to be able to get there. There's back roads in there, but it could, after telling everybody to make sure you get there by 5:45, I'm a little worried that you might be diverted a little bit.
Your town chose the day before the Bob's Bar show
completely
to do massive construction on the one road in?
Yeah, the one main road in. I only learned this yesterday. I made a run that we'll get to a little bit later on. I went in and said, what is going on? My mom's like, they just ripped up all the roads. If they start paving tomorrow, it's going to be all overnight construction. Make sure everybody's aware. Now, it's not like you can't get in there. Again, there's another back way to go, but, you know, it could take you an extra 10 minutes to get in. You won't,
is that
you so? Won't not be able to get there. Just be prepared. Or, you know, you might be down to one lane and it just takes you a little bit longer at 5 a.m.
There would be traffic at 5 a.m.?
Well, if you close three lanes down to one and you have 30 people trying to get there and make sure they hear a good morning. Yeah, I mean, I think for the first time ever, even the construction crews are going to be like, why are all these people trying to drive in here right now?
The LIE?
They're no, it's the not LIE? The LIE. It's called Route 109. That is the route.
It's a four-lane highway?
No, it's three lanes. Three lanes. But they're all ripped up right now. They
but
ripped them up.
Three lanes each way?
Or maybe two. I guess maybe two in a turn lane. Okay, it's probably two in a turn.
This is why I say Long Island sucks.
But I did laugh. You will not be able to get. I'm not trying to tell you won't be able to get there. I'm just saying it is funny. It's going to be a little extra hiccup probably in that early hour getting
the
through.
First fly in the ointment. Well, does this just mean that all of our tires smell like new tar for
probably.
Zach Gelb to have to huff?
Probably, and or if the road is still ripped up and they're doing more ripping instead of paving tonight, what it could mean is maybe a loose nail ends up in a tire and then Zach Gelb's getting blamed by the time he parks the car and you come back to a flat tire. That's
Titans.
Possible.
Well, let's just count our wins, okay? Kind of like the Bills are counting their wins right now. Let's count our wins. It's not construction in front of your house.
No.
Which would have been the big problem. If we would have had road graders and cement mixers outside of Bob's Bars, we tried to do a radio show, that would have been the real issue.
Absolutely. No. The show was going to sound perfect. This was just more laughing after the whole my dad chasing them away from doing construction. Then instead they took it to the main road in. That's what I found funny.
Is it possible that they did this as a little elbow into the ribs of Bob? Bob, you taunted us and you threatened us, and so we won't do this in front of your house, but the way in, oh yeah, we'll decide to do it just the day before.
Possible.
A message sent to the Department of Public Works?
A message sent. It's definitely possible. So, look, moist pork in the carpoolers. Just be prepared. That's all I'm telling everybody.
Bob's Bar 3. The story of 2023. Titled, A Message Sent.
And for those looking for me to freeze, I can also report pool temperatures are up, so I'm okay to be dumped in there.
Okay, forecast. What are we looking at?
All right, so as the forecast stands right now, and, you know, Bogus could confirm or deny, it looks like most of the rain has shifted to about a happy hour, 5 o'clock situation tomorrow evening.
Yes.
The report calls for in West Babylon, mostly sunny in the morning.
Woo-hoo!
Increasing clouds with showers later in the day. Friday night, showers and thunderstorms, a low of 62, a high of 77. So we'll be fine for the show.
Oh, boy, did we need that. And high of 77 is perfect.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be gorgeous, as they say.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Tomorrow, Bob's 3. And all day long, we'll describe and dissect what we're preparing to do tomorrow and the preparations that are still needed to be finalized. But when we come back here on the show on this Thirsty Thursday, we've got Soundcheck. We've got your best audio of the day. Stay right there. Joe Burrow is asked, who's the best QB in the NFL? And PB&J gets a shout out during the Cardinals and Giants game last night. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Good morning, everybody. We appreciate you being with us on this June 15th, 2023. It's a Thursday as we prepare for tomorrow's Bob's Bar show. To be prepared for tomorrow's show, make sure you're familiar with our streaming options because you don't want to be missing any part of tomorrow. If you could watch it, I highly encourage you to do so on YouTube or on Twitch. Just use the CBS Sports Radio channels there, YouTube and Twitch, or watchda.com. That's also mobile friendly. where you can use your phone to listen to us if you're outside your normal listening area using the free CBS Sports app or the free Odyssey app. Of course, if you listen to us across a radio affiliate on this CBS Sports Radio Network, make sure you are locked in for 4 hours tomorrow. I don't want to miss a thing. I don't want to miss Boyle's Oil. More on that coming up, but first sound check. And so let us begin with Joe Burrow, who's asked who's the best quarterback in football. Here's Joey Burr.
I don't think there's any argument right now. It's Pat. Until somebody has a better year than he's had, he's the one to knock off.
I don't think there's any question. It's Pat. And that's from the mouth of probably the second best quarterback in the NFL and a guy who's hyper competitive. And this is why I love Joe Burrow. Because there is a way out there for a guy with an ego that can't find it within himself to say that other guy is better. There's certainly a way out of this where you go, well, that's not for me to judge. I'm not really sure. Or, you know what? I'm always going to say myself because you got to believe in yourself if you're going to accomplish anything. You know, yada, 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 the old cliches. Instead, here is a guy admitting, no, that guy's the best. I'm not the best. That guy's the best. And until somebody knocks him off, I can't be the best. And I think that that's a pretty cool demeanor. And I think that's what makes Burrow really approachable, is that he's a superstar, but he seems to understand that it's really all about winning. And he can't have an ego about anything until he wins the Super Bowl. Now, here's a guy that's been there and came within an eyelash of winning it for the Cincinnati Bengals and still has to admit, it's not me. It's somebody else. It's my contemporary, and it's not me. And he's right. The best quarterback in football is Patrick Mahomes, and maybe that's also a testament to Mahomes that it's so obvious, there is no real argument to be made otherwise, that even his rivals have to admit it. Pretty interesting. Here is Colts running back Jonathan Taylor, who wants a new deal, but of course, nobody's given new deals to running backs. Here's JT.
It's sad. It sucks because a lot of positions do a lot for their team. But specifically speaking for the running back position, I can just speak firsthand. We do a lot. And you just want to be treated fairly, and not even treated fairly. You just want to be, you know, appreciated for what you bring to the team. Just seeing guys fight, you just hope that things work out for them. I mean, you see why guys, they request trades. They want, you know, they just want to feel valued by not only their coaches, their teammates, but the organization as well. And I think it's something you got to continue to do.
I don't blame Jonathan Taylor, Saquon Barkley, Austin Eckler, Dalvin Cook, Josh Jacobs. I don't blame any of them for feeling undervalued, dismissed, ignored, disrespected. Because all of those guys are really good at what they do. And Jonathan Taylor is certainly one of the best at what he does in the NFL. And when you hear Taylor say, I know what we provide to a team and I know what we mean, he's not wrong. Running backs are an important piece of the puzzle. The only problem for all of those guys is they are so much more replaceable than any of the other stars at any other position. That's the problem. Nobody is saying those guys aren't important. Nobody's saying you don't need a running back or multiple running backs. Nobody's going to run the football anymore. It's just a harsh reality. It's the single most simple position to replace. And they just got to deal with that supply and demand. That's what this is. I mean, it's a little bit like kicker or punter. And you hate to say it because we've grown up through our lives with the great stars at running back being Hall of Famers, high draft picks, the centerpieces of offenses. But if a kicker held out for more than the franchise tag, or a punter said, I'm not reporting to camp because I didn't get a big enough deal, everybody would laugh. Okay, you think you're not replaceable? It'd be a joke. But it's not that those guys aren't valuable. They are. But that a pretty close approximation of what they do can be had at a pretty light cost in the draft or on the free agent market. And so that's just the bit with running backs. Finally, On the Perloff show with Megan Perloff, rather, we had Andrew Perloff eat an entire jar of peanut butter a few weeks ago. And then on Monday, Maggie ate an entire jar of jelly. She was doing so almost as a reverse hunger strike to get more people to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And so props to Maggie for doing the dirty work. I mean, all we do is play idiots and laugh for 4 hours every single morning. And that's us putting in work to growing the YouTube channel. We'll have Badlands Booker belch in Mraz's face in super slow-mo. That's going to be our contribution to growing the YouTube channel. I mean, here's Maggie, who's actually having to ingest a full jar of jelly. So more power to her. But they've been doing the PB&J. How about Chip Carey and Brad Thompson on Bally Sports Midwest? This is during the Cardinals-Giants game on the broadcast team. Also giving PB&J some love. Let's listen in.
How about you? You a grape jelly snob?
Oh, I'm not a jelly snob at all.
No.
I'm in. I mean, strawberry, grape.
Yep.
I'm good with raspberry even.
Okay.
I'm not getting too exotic. I'm not going with the orange marmalade and peanut butter.
Well, this might be the most critical question of our relationship.
All right. Well, here we go. I'm ready for this.
Here it is. It's
to happen.
It's June 13th. It's 9-2. First pitch. Out of play foul. You ready for it?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Crunchy peanut butter. Smooth peanut butter.
And creamy all day.
Oh, no.
All day. I'm not even hesitating. Why'd you move further away? Yeah. Turn your back to me. This could be a fun season.
Swing and a miss. Two outs.
So you're a chunky guy, huh?
Well, look at me, of course.
I mean, Plaza Tire Service pitch track. Look at this one here. Nice bender.
And for the record, it's crunchy, not chunky.
I know what it's called.
Oh. Oh.
Do we think that that's legit frostiness in the booth over this? Or is that, are they just hamming it up?
I gotta think they're hamming it up. You can't be that serious over a chunky versus creamy debate.
Why isn't that funny? Why did the four of us not even break a smile?
That's a good question. I laughed when I first heard it this morning, which is why I put it in. Maybe you guys have to ask yourselves. I don't know.
I thought it was funny. I thought it was entertaining. I chuckled when he said, "Look at me."
Look at me is a good line. I don't know. There was something that was a little bit too...
No, the key is he says it's 9-2, and the Cardinals are terrible. I'm assuming they're losing this game 9-2.
I'd have to look, yeah.
They already hate each, like the season is terrible. It's a complete waste of time. So they're salty, but that's for fun. They're not actually mad at each other over peanut butter, but that's why they're talking about it, because they've got nothing left to do, and it's June 13th, and the Cardinals season is sunk.
How did that come up?
So Tyro Estrada, who plays for the Giants, there was an anecdote that he's obsessed with eating Uncrustables, and that's the only form of peanut butter and jelly he will eat. So it starts early in that clip with the jelly conversation, ripping off all the different types of jellies, and then it gets to the creamy, crunchy, don't call it chunky debate.
So here's my big takeaway on all of this, is that we've talked about this before. Wars on Twitter over adamant takes on pretty run-of-the-mill food questions is stupid. You know, if the people that say you're not allowed to put ketchup on hot dogs, right, it's a disgrace, we can't be friends, I'm blocking you. Or what?
Pineapple on pizza, what are you doing?
Pineapple on pizza is a crime against humanity. Dude, I will never, ever follow you ever again.
A hot dog is a sandwich, the bun's the bread.
Right, yeah.
It's a hoagie, it's not a sub, bro.
Right. Is a super meal. If we disagree on this, we cannot be friends. This type of stuff is so idiotic because nobody should ever have such hard food takes. What I will take away from, like, you can't say we're now at odds because you don't like my type of peanut butter. It's just ridiculous. So I guess some of this is just hamming it up. But number two,
you can't dip a wing in ranch, bro.
Right, it just becomes tired because we've seen this all over the place. The other thing, though, is that Brad Thompson is right. All jellies are pretty good. I mean, grape jelly's great. Strawberry jelly's great. Raspberry jelly's kind of like strawberry jelly. There's really no bad jellies. But orange marmalade sucks. And I know this firsthand because I got a gift basket for Christmas 2 years ago or something. And it had all these delicious jellies in it. And I ate through all of them. And then I got to the orange marmalade, obviously final. And I opened it up and took one scoop. And I'm like, wow, this is inedible. I cannot even put this on a peanut butter and jelly. I can't do anything with this. It's just gross. So that's the one takeaway there that is absolutely right.
Yeah, it's not a J. That's an O. Yeah, yeah. That'd be a PB&O.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
good point.
It's not good at either. My mother-in-law and my wife's aunt tried pushing this on me. This is way healthier than mayo. You guys should put it on your turkey sandwiches or whatever.
Wow, instead of mayo.
And so they brought it over. They were like, this is our new thing that we love. So, of course, we love it. So you have to love it. I tried a half a bite. And I was absolutely disgusted. And I would never put it with peanut butter. But I'm with you. Raspberry, strawberry, grape. Have fun with your jellies otherwise.
Yeah, all the jellies are interchangeable. I personally like strawberry jelly best or strawberry jam best. But, I mean, I'm not going to hate on any of them. They're all fine. None of them ruin a sandwich versus the other one. It's just the orange marmalade is too bitter. It's just... It has the consistency of jam or jelly, but it's just too bitter. It doesn't fit with anything else.
Well, what about the real crux of the argument here? Chunky or smooth peanut butter?
I think they're both interchangeable. I like chunky, but I'm certainly not going to hate on somebody that likes creamy. And if you think I'm some type of terrorist because I like chunky, like, that's ridiculous.
I also think it's weird to like only one version. Like, it's peanut butter. It's pretty much should be what you're in the mood for.
Yes, that's correct. That's the correct
answer. Like, the taste isn't that drastic. It's the texture that's different.
I'm always in the mood for a little crunching and munching.
It is a heartier peanut butter, which I think is why I like it. It makes it feel like a PB&J is of a it's just a bigger meal. It's going to fill me up maybe a little bit more.
Yeah. Is Lady Marmalade related to Orange Marmalade, by the way?
It's marmalade.
Yeah.
It's not funny.
But that is a good question. And I think this would be for Bogues because he travels to Europe more than we do.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Boyle as well. Marmalade and Lady Marmalade, is that based on a region or a town probably in the UK?
It comes from a movie that's based in France. Oh. So I don't know all the answers to that.
Oh, yeah. Leave me for a zivazovon.
There you go.
Leave me zivazovon.
So, just a quick Google search. The first thing I'm seeing is something about the singer had friends who were sex workers. That's where Lady Marmalade comes from.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah, doctor.
It's a character from even before the Moulin Rouge movie and song. So, I don't know where it comes from at all.
This other link is saying it's about New Orleans prostitutes.
Right. Oh.
Which Zion needs to get a hand on those.
Oh, my. Okay. All right. So we don't know where the jelly comes from. We have no idea. Whatever. I mean, just, I like baseball, but is this not so indicative of baseball?
Oh, totally.
Is that the baseball broadcasters can have a full conversation about the wins and losses around what type of peanut butter you like during a game.
Pace of play didn't change these boring conversations.
Could you imagine in the fourth quarter of an NFL game?
So, Tony, do you like smooth or chunky peanut butter? Hello, friends.
And by the way, this just shows you how terrible I am with local baseball announcers. When did Chip Carey stop doing Braves games and doing Cardinal games?
This is his first year on the Cardinals.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Right, Bogues? They had a big search this offseason for the Cardinals' voice.
First year for the Cardinals, but I can't remember if he did the Braves last year.
Mm. Yeah.
If he went right from one to the other or not.
He's been around the block.
He's a chip off the old block.
Oh, wow, this has served as the Braves broadcaster from 2005 to 22, so yes.
Okay.
What if I told you Chip Carey's nearly 60?
Oh, wow, that's
That
sad.
Would make you feel old, huh?
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Because, boy, he was calling TBS playoff games like 20 years ago.
Well, I don't know that TBS had the playoffs 20 years ago. I think that was only like 8 years ago.
Really?
TBS is not. No, that used to be like strictly just Fox and ESPN back
You're right,
in the day.
But didn't he call the earliest wild card playoff games for baseball years ago?
No, that was not 20 years ago.
He was the lead play-by-play for MLB on TBS from 2007 to 2009.
07.
But they didn't have playoff games in 07. No way. That was the Braves on 07.
Well, they had MLB on TBS. I just don't think it was the playoffs.
They could have had a wild card game.
That's what I think.
Huh.
Yeah, that's what I think. So that's 15 years ago, 16 years ago. Anyway, boring conversation we're having. Sorry, let's move it along. AB has your headlines. Good morning, kind sir.
Good morning. These headlines sponsored by HelloFresh. Shake up dinner time with HelloFresh. With 40 weekly recipe options, there's always something new to try. Get 16 free meals plus free shipping with code SKATE16 at HelloFresh.com/SKATE16. It was fun while it lasted. The A's went back to losing last night, and Nevada officially handed out $380 million of public cash for a baseball stadium.
The pitch. Swinging a hard hit ball toward the middle. It'll sneak into center field for a base hit. Scoring from third, Yandy Diaz, the Rays have their second lead of the night at 4-3.
The call from Rays Radio, that lead stood up, becoming a 6-3 win in Oakland, ending the A's 7-game win streak. A's skipper Mark Kotze wishing his team could have scored like Boyle on a trip to Denver.
Offensively, we got guys out there all night. We just couldn't get the big hit, and that's kind of the story of the game tonight, really. We've been, you know, successful in those situations and been winning games, and tonight we couldn't get the job done.
There was good news for the A's, some of it last night. The Royals lost their ninth in a row, 7-4 at home to the Reds, so KC keeps the worst record in the game, now at 18-50. The Marlins hung on for a 4-1 win in Seattle. The Rangers cooled off the Angels 6-3, but Shohei Ohtani did club his AL-leading 21st homer, and the Astros beat the Nats 5-4. Yordan Alvarez, though, is out at least 4 weeks with an oblique strain, and starting pitcher Lance McCullers had season-ending right forearm surgery. The White Sox rallied for an 8-4 win at Dodger Stadium. San Diego blanked Cleveland 5-0. Behind solo homers from Tatis, Machado, and Soto, and the Mets rally to beat the Yankees 4-3-10 to split round one of the Subway Series. Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts got paid this offseason. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert are next. The Charger QB was asked at minicamp yesterday about a hold-in during training camp.
It's something that I really haven't thought a whole lot about. You know, I think the most of the offseason so far has been worried about, you know, getting my shoulder right, making sure that I'm the best quarterback that I can be for this team. It's something you can address. You know, I'm not quite sure. I don't have any more updates for you at this time.
Herbert adding he knows the QB has a responsibility to be at every workout and practice. Two first-round picks got paid for the first time yesterday. Ravens wide out Zay Flowers and Bucks D-tackle Kalijah Kansi. And the NBA's attention is now on next week's draft. The Lakers reportedly shopping the 17th pick, hoping to move back and collect more choices. DA, back to you.
For the record, this is one of the rare instances I had a better memory than Merez. In 2006, TBS signed an agreement with Major League Baseball to broadcast one of the wild card games, an entire division series playoff, and one of the LCSs. And Chip Carey was named.
Is that so?
So 07 was the first postseason for them to do this. They struck the deal in 06, 07. So 16 years ago, my friend, my fine fleshy friend, Chip Carey was calling a playoff
game. Wow! That means John Miller and Joe Morgan probably stopped doing wildcard games then. That's crazy.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how long we've gone without John Miller and Joe Morgan. Now, John Miller's obviously still calling Giants games, but yeah, it's been a while.
Wow! All right, hey, got tip of the cap.
Now, sometimes,
you got it.
Sometimes, you know, you just got to tip your cap to the guy that remembers when Chip Carey was calling a playoff game. When we come back on the show, how many eggs do we have for tomorrow? Very important question. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Gian from me? Monfi?
Oh, Gael Monfils?
Yeah, him.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you know, that guy. Welcome back. 51 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. We are just a day away from the Bob's Bar Extravaganza. This time tomorrow, we'll have fun and revelry. Hopefully, you are able to listen to it live. If not, it'll be obviously available full 4 hours in podcast form. That's available on the free Odyssey app where the podcasts are. Also, you can listen to the full podcast by simply searching The DA Show and subscribing to it on your favorite podcast platform. Much more on the festivities coming up here on the show. But first, the big question. We are serving breakfast sandwiches tomorrow for you guys. And by the way, show up early and crack a beer as early as you want. Crack a White Claw as early as you want. Have a good time. Have fun with you, Bob's Bar 3, because you don't have to wait for us. We're not going to be able to imbibe until 10 a.m. Eastern time, but you guys can go crazy, folks. Go crazy as soon as you come in through the doors. And we'll have some breakfast sandwiches going on, and we had to do some math yesterday. How many eggs do we need? Now, Bob is going to be making the Booker, which is Badland Booker's favorite breakfast sandwich, which he says he has every day, which is egg, sausage, cheese, salt, pepper, ketchup on a roll. Now, we might swap in some bread, some slices of toast instead of the roll, but we'll have you covered for a Booker. How many eggs did you pick up yesterday from Costco, Marines?
120 eggs, DA.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Got to crack some eggs if you're going to make some omelets, you know what I mean?
Now, Boyle, I feel like you eat 12 egg omelets.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I've had 4 or 5 egg omelets. I try to keep my eggs in one basket.
I see. So, Mraz, does Bob know how to make the Badlands Booker?
I mean, does he know how to make sausage, egg, cheese, and ketchup on a sandwich? I would think if his last name is The Deli Man, I would certainly hope he knows how to do that, DA.
My point is, does he know he's going to be throwing Bookers out?
Well,
this is what people are going to be ordering.
Yeah,
Booker.
Yeah, I think the idea.
It's the signature dish.
I think the way to get tickets, as they call them in the restaurant business, out quicker, DA, is it's going to be kind of make your own. The eggs, the sausage, it will all be out on a nice little buffet line for you. And it's on you to put together your own Booker.
I see.
Otherwise, you're just going to hold up the line at the griddle.
Well, unless Bob just keeps making individual ones, you just come up and you wait for the next one, and that's the only thing you can order.
Yeah, that's true, but you know what? The worst thing you could do in a food business, and an establishment like Bob's Bar, is have a line 6-7 people deep where suddenly, you know, they feel like, you know what, it's not worth standing on this line. I'm going to go up the block to a fast food place.
True. An establishment.
Yeah, you don't want to lose customers either.
I don't mind helping Bob out at the bar tomorrow.
How about Boyle, a little sous chef?
Oh, that would be great. Can we get an apron and a hairnet for Boyle?
I would love that. That would be lovely. Man.
That would be awesome.
An assless apron.
Which listener, aside from Marie in Denver, would like to see an assless apron that Boyle is wearing tomorrow at the grill?
It's a great question. I would argue all of them. We want to see how tight those butt cheeks are, DA.
I got good cheeks, I'll tell you that much.
You think maybe it's Gordon from Vancouver who's flying standby?
Well, look, if you're going to travel countries, I think the least you could do is get assless chaps on Boyle.
More on the Bob's Bar show, including one young man who has started a GoFundMe account to come visit tomorrow, coming up here next.